thought Tim was going to be playing that this morning, because when I came in yesterday, he and Jane were playing it together. So I looked over, and it wasn't Tim's shoes I could see under the piano. Good job, Linda. Okay. I'd like to have you turn to Psalm 86, please. Psalm 86. In many of the Psalms, David was the psalmist, and he was writing praising the Lord. Have you ever tried to praise the Lord with some words that have never been said before about God? You read the Psalms and you say, oh man, what a great, great God, what a great thing to say about Him. And then if you really want to praise Him in a way that is unique to you, it's not quoting something out of the scripture, but something coming from your heart, I can't find anything to say that hasn't already been said. David said so much of it. And here in this 86th Psalm, you will see him and you will understand his relationship to God, because there's three verses we want to look at. Verses 8 through 10. Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10. It says, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. What a spectacular thing to think about. The one that David is talking about here, the one that all the nations are going to come and worship before, this God is our God. He has reached out to us and made us aware of what he has done for us, and we have responded to that. He has loved us. I find it difficult sometimes to understand his loving. I appreciate his loving me, and I'm glad that he loves some of you. No. All of you. I am glad that he loves all of you. But he loves everybody. He loves a lady by the name of Pelosi up in Washington, D.C. He does. He loves a man by the name of Schumer. He loves a man by the name of Biden. He loves a woman by the name of Biden. He loves them. This God, this one that David is talking about, this same God that you and I know and react with and work with, he knows. He knows them. He loves them. So tonight, I want us to share with each other, and we're going to do something different, to share with each other in this service tonight something that's special that God has done in your life. Because if he hasn't done something in your life, you must be dead. He loves you. He's there to do things special for you. And he does them. And every so often, it is just so extra special that We just cannot find the words to tell him how we feel. Love is just gushing out of our hearts everywhere, and we are surrounded. We're just in a bubble of his love. And it's just us and him. And it doesn't last long, people. I wish it lasted for weeks or days or even hours. But normally it doesn't last long. It's just a few moments or even just a few seconds that we experience these kinds of things. And so tonight we're going to share in some of these. We're going to praise God. We're not going to, you know, give a testimony of how we got saved. We've done that. But tonight we're going to share and praise God for something special that he has done for each one of us. And somewhere along the way, each person here tonight will be given the opportunity to, should you choose, and you don't have to, but should you choose to give a testimony based on a portion of scripture or something that happened in your life where it was just you and God. And at some point, you know, in my lifetime, the Holy Spirit burned into my brain and a particular hymn, a hymn that I have sung for years by myself, not necessarily to myself, but to him. And that's the way hymns are supposed to be. We are not singing it to us. We're not even singing it to you. We're singing it to him. And if we do that, that's a way of, one way that we can pour our love out for him. And we don't get many opportunities to do that or share that with other people and let other people see the love in our heart for him. So somewhere in my life, God burned into my heart a particular hymn, and we're going to sing it tonight. But there are times that I've had to look heavenward and sing that hymn to God because it was the only expression I knew, the only way I could express my feelings for the moment. And when I would sing it unto him, it would be with all of my heart. And I'm sure that each one of you have had times like that in your life where it's just you and God. You know he is. Just like when Moses sitting out in the desert watching the burning bush, he says, you know, who am I going to tell Israel? Has told me to come down and rescue you folks and lead you out. And God said, I am that I am, has sent you. I am. Sent you. And that's why when Jesus would use that same expression during his lifetime, they'd want to kill him because he was saying, when he would say, I am, he was saying, I am God. I exist. And so tonight we're going to confirm that he does exist for us. And the times that this has happened to me have been very unique, and I'm sure the times that these things like this have happened to you have been unique, where there are times when we're not even able to mouth words or form words. Now, Lacey and I, we can. I'm so glad that we can help each other out. From time to time, I will know what the first letter of a word is, but I can't remember the word. And he'll remember it for me. And there are other times when he knows the first letter, but he doesn't remember it, and I can maybe think it up for him. But there are times when we just cannot think of words to express what is going on in our heart. And that's, folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. That is not unique, that's not unusual, that's not some strange apparition. That is the way it is supposed to be when we really are in love with our Heavenly Father. Now, Most of the time that I've had situations like this, I've had to resort to this particular hymn. There have been a few times when other people have been present, and I have sung the hymn in my heart and brain silently. There are times when God blesses us, and we don't want everybody to know what's going on in us. It's between us and Him. It's not between us and anybody else. And so within our heart, within our brain, we sing that song, not with our mouth, but with our heart. Now, I firmly believe that the writer of this particular hymn was inspired when he wrote it. Not as inspired as Paul and Matthew and Luke and John, but he was inspired to write this particular hymn because he knew and God knew that we mortals would need it somewhere along the way. So, during my lifetime, there have been a couple of times when I've been with a large group of believers, when God has shown Himself in some unusual aspect of creation. And at that time, all of the people present broke out into that hymn and sang it. And the one night I've mentioned it to you, I've shared it with you before, but I'm going to share it with you one more time so you'll know what kind of thing I'm looking for. Connie and I had been, you remember the young lady and her husband, the short fella and their son who were here a couple weeks ago. Okay, she was at Northland Baptist Bible College. That's at Dunbar, Wisconsin. And that's right up in the tip of Wisconsin, not too far from Lake Michigan. And she was up there, and Connie and I were up there recruiting summer staff. And Dwayne Rehm, a piano teacher, he's got a doctorate in piano. I don't know what you do to get a doctorate in piano, but anyway, he had one. And he was giving a sacred concert. And so Connie and I, along with some 3,000 students from Northland Baptist Bible College, all attended this concert in the evening. We were all dressed up. You know, the girls were all dressed up. This was a special occasion. And so we attended the concert. It lasted about an hour and a half, and the concert was over, and so they opened the side doors and the back doors, and everybody began pouring out of the auditorium, girls going back to their dorms, boys going to their dorms. Connie and I were going to go back to our car and to the our room. They had given us an apartment to stay in. And as we walked out the door, there was a little flicker up in the sky. It was black night. Little flicker in the sky. And suddenly that flicker turned blue, and then it turned purple, and it began to spread out upon, looked like curtains dangling, icicles in the sky. And it spread from horizon to horizon. And all of that crowd came out and just stopped and looked at that display of the Northern Lights. And it was greens and purples, and it went from horizon to horizon. And no one could say anything. I mean, it was just spectacular. We all just, 3,000 of us just stood there looking. I don't know if my mouth was open, but we looked and we looked and we stood there, and for 45 minutes, God put this display on for us. And early in that, as it began to, the girls began to sing, "How Great Thou Art." How great thou art. And sometimes there's nothing else that you and I can say. Oh God, how great thou art. Because do you know, they don't know what causes that. Science has studied it. The Navy has studied it to see if they can use it for communication purposes. But they do not know what causes it. They do not know what sustains it. I do. I talk to them every day. God. That was part of the creation. He made that so there would be nights like that, where maybe you're by yourself and you look up and you see something like this, and it is God speaking to your heart. Look who I am, folks. Look what I can do for you. We all enjoy beauty. We all enjoy spectacular things. I guess that's why I like fireworks displays, you know. And I think we're going to have a good one tonight, because that whole field is covered with boxes and stuff. But God spoke to us that night. And for 45 minutes, Connie was cold. I took my coat off. I put it around her. We couldn't move. We couldn't walk away. Oh, well. No. You have to be there. You have to look. And you have to praise God for what He is doing, because only He can do it. Well, that's enough about us. When the girls began to sing, "How Great Thou Art," it seemed appropriate. What's one of our church verses? Let all things be done decently and in order, or appropriately and on time. And folks, that was appropriate. And it was on time. And so God has those kind of blessings for each one of us at some point in life. It's not always the same thing, and it's not, you might be touched by something that I wouldn't be touched by. I might be touched by something you wouldn't be touched by. But God knows exactly how to touch your heart, how to communicate with you. Boy, I love you. And you communicate right back from your heart, because the Holy Spirit is there and enables you. What does He bring? Love. And suddenly you just, man, you love Him. You are so in love with Him. Well, that's the way every day is supposed to be for us. It really is. Now, it can't be, because we're up and down. Our emotions vary, and we have different issues in life that press in on us. But God wants us to love Him. And so God that night made us aware of His presence. Now, I don't know if it was the music of Duane Reem playing. He's a pianist, by the way. And gorgeous concert. I mean, he's just fantastic pianist, just like we have here. So, okay. And we were so grateful that He had prepared our hearts. And I think He had. And God does this sometimes in our lives. He prepares your heart for something special He's going to bring in to your life. And if we'd let Him, then we are able to participate. And that night, 3,000 of us participated. So there have been times when God has touched your life in some special way that you will never forget. And that touch was enough to make you love Him as your Creator and your Savior, to love Him. No one else, just Him. And so, I can't explain it, but sometimes we forget just how much we love someone until they're not here anymore. And at that point, we sorrow. But we don't have to do that with God, because He's never going to leave us. Jesus Christ is never going to leave us. He promised it. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." I read a verse this morning about from John chapter 14 about if He's going to go build something for us, a place for us, He's going to come back and get us. And we're going to be there. I don't know what to expect, people. But I'd be happy with the doghouse in heaven. Wouldn't have to be a mansion, maybe a two-bedroom doghouse. I don't know. But God is preparing a place for each one of us because he's going to come back and get us. And so we get busy with life and the things that life throws at us. And as we are doing these things, we forget about loving. Sometimes we forget about who we love, why we love them. And we just forget about it while we're fighting the good fight, what we call the good fight. So what I would love to see happen here tonight is for those of you who have experienced God to share with us a moment when it was just you and God, and you were experiencing his love in a way that was not normal for every day. So we have a couple of microphones. Do we have did we get a couple of mics prepared? Well, okay. Well, yeah, we'll do the song first. I just want to make sure we got everything set up. So what we're going to do is we are going to stand in just a minute, and we are going to sing How Great Thou Art. We're going to sing it without the piano because this is a prayer from our heart to God. You sing it with all the feeling you've got or all the feeling you want to. You let it be the praise of your heart tonight. And then as the Lord directs, as the Holy Spirit leads, those of you who want to share with us sometime when God stepped into your life and said, I'm here and you're mine. Okay, do we have a number for that?
Six.
Number six, okay. That's what the bulletin says, yes, okay. So she's going to give us a starting note. Let's all stand. She's going to give us a starting note. And then I'm going to ask you one by one, just put your hand up. We're going to bring a mic so everybody can hear because we want this blessing shared throughout. Okay?
I encourage if you sing in voice, go through it together. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. On that final one, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim
sings, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Then we will give you one. Who will be first?
I was coming from Marshall's after being with a girl, and I pulled across Dorchester to go into the other side of Dorchester to go home, and I thought I made sure everything was clear, but there was a black truck on the other side. I missed him.
Really a good orator or speaker, so y'all just have to bear with me. But my husband died about 7 years ago, and I had at that point decided it was time to move closer to my children who lived here in the Somerville area. And so I felt like the Lord was leading me to do that, but I resisted moving churches. And I felt he wanted me to move, but I kept saying no. It's a 45-minute ride back and forth from where I lived to where I was going to church. And I kept saying, no, I'm not ready to go. I had a good family there. It was a good church, my church. So probably for 2 years, I went back and forth. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Whenever it's open, that's when I'm there. So it tells you how many times I was going back and forth to church. Not bragging. But then something happened in our church. I'm not saying God did let this happen in our church to make me leave, but I left the church at that time and still did not really want to find another church. But I started looking here around the Somerville area, and for months I looked from one church to another church thinking maybe I should have stayed at that church and worked through whatever was going on in the church. That's all not relevant right now, but God led me to this church one Wednesday night. And you met me at the pastor at your office door when I walked in on Wednesday night and said, what are you doing here on a Wednesday night? Remember that? And I said, I just came to see the church, the people in the church. I haven't been to another church since. There was a peace when I walked in. Is that only God?
We'll go next.
So everyone knows how shy I am, and I might start crying. But it was a Sunday morning. I knew I was saved. I had watched Charles Stanley, and I was saved. So the next had another sermon on Sunday, and he said, if you can get up and get out and about, you need to go find a church. Same, similar story, you need to go find a church. So that week I went on the search for a church, and I, through the process of elimination, I found online this church. And when I came to the door, pastor was in the foyer there, and there was another lady there named Deborah. And for probably a year or two after that, after I came here, I'd never seen pastor in that foyer. And I know the Lord wanted to get me out and wanted to get me here, and he had the Charles Stanley do his sermon on that I needed to get out. and also Pastor being in the foyer and Deborah being there also, because she latched a hold of me and brought me in here, and that was it. And I know if that had not happened, then I would have possibly walked out the door. So the Lord made everything just perfect for me to make me comfortable and to get me out and to come into a church. So he took good care of me.
Isn't the Lord good? Isn't he so good? Doesn't he love us so good? Doesn't he? Who next?
Okay, since mine is no different. I wasn't going to church at first, and then my daughter started when she was going to Calvary Baptist Church, and then somehow her and Dale and some came over to this church, and they started going over here, and then she said, Sam, come on over here. You might like the church. So I started going, and I started listening to the services. And then I started feeling comfortable here. So I started going, and I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all.
Number one, I don't like to speak in public. But in my life, and I wrote it down so I don't ramble, okay, and be able to say what I want to say. Sorry. There's been many times in my life the Lord has come to me in spirit. I get this feeling of warmth and peace. I knew that then, and I know that now. It is and was the Lord telling me everything's gonna be okay. Many times. But the biggest event was when we arrived in Charleston in 1981, I made many trips to the Charleston Air Force Base. Lacey was off at school, and I was taking care of my four girls and taking care of our home. But I passed this church, going and coming. And every time, I felt this tug, along with that warmth and that peace. And finally, as we studied in Sunday school, your all to the Lord. Amen. You give up everything that you thought was important, and it isn't. But I gave up my life to the Lord, and things have never, ever been the same. God is good.
Well, recently, I was convicted of a sin that I was doing that I was not even aware I was doing. And this sin was between me and God. It did not involve any other person. It was between me and my personal relationship with Jesus. And when God convicted me of what I was doing, the repentance was agonizing. I mean, to repent, to think that I had returned the love of Jesus, instead of in a way that was pleasing him, I had returned his love in a way that was breaking his heart. And when he allowed me to realize that you are breaking my heart by doing this, well, the repentance was, well, everybody's been through that. It was agonizing. But the thing about it is, I know he forgave me as soon as I repented, but I was repenting and crying out to the Lord for several days over this. It was that serious. But what I want to say is, when I finally accepted his forgiveness, and his forgiveness was all wrapped up in his mercy and his love, oh my goodness, I couldn't praise him enough. I couldn't thank him enough. And he's a great God. He's a forgiving God.
Did you sing a song?
I did.
In my heart.
Since we're talking about songs tonight, several years ago, when the this church and about five or six other churches in the area, in February we'd go to Bonnie Doon's plantation over near Orangeburg. And this particular evening, we got there and we go on Thursday and stay through Sunday. We all gathered and they had made different arrangements, so we had to be in this, and they made this available just for us. It was a room about the size from where you're sitting over to here. And then they had the stage up there. 77 men.
And I'm not going to sing it.
But I'm going to read it.
Put our crown first.
I have a maker. Before my heart, before even time began, my life was in his hands. Choruses, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees me each time I fall. And hears me when I talk. I have a father. He calls me his son. He never will leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He hears me say I fall, and hears me when I call. 77 men, sing about it.
And I have several experiences too, but this one is really dear to my heart, that the Holy Spirit let me know that he was with me. I guess it's been about 29 years ago. I had a surgery. It was supposed to be an in-and-out surgery. My doctor nicked a main artery. I lost blood, had to be transported by an ambulance back to the hospital. And while we're there, I could just feel the blood flowing out. And I couldn't think about my husband or our children. All I could think about was the Holy Spirit. And God was just giving me peace. He wrapped his arms around me in a warmth that I had only other time I ever really experienced it was when he saved me. He held me close to him, and I knew that if I was dying, I was going on to heaven. And from that day forward, I know without a doubt that if I die today, I'm going to heaven. And right before that time, we had been coming here, I guess about, 30 years now. But before that, I rededicated my life to the Lord, got rebaptized. We started tithing. We tithed on our savings. And after that, it was a few months later, is when I had to go through this experience of losing blood and having to have emergency surgery. And through that time, God was even showing us, like preparing us, faithful. We have to be faithful to the Word, to read the Word, to pray the Word, and the Holy Spirit will be with you. And even while I was in the hospital that week, God sent. He sent angels to me. I can't explain it any other way. But these angels, these nurses, Ms. Iris knows, for those of y'all who are in the medical field, but they came in and ministered to me. They took care of me during this time. And losing blood, you're weak. And I'm a pastor, you know. I was so weak, but they took care of me and ministered to me. And my church family here loved on me. So experiencing God and the Holy Spirit, there's no words to say, but how awesome and how mighty God that we serve. Thank you, Lord.
There was a time, it's probably about 30 years ago now, and I had just gotten into the church, and this was after a time of really being backslidden for quite a while. I believe I was saved then, pretty sure I was. I had been backslidden, and I knew I was running from the Lord. He was trying to get my attention, but I had just gotten into the church. And it hadn't been too long. I hadn't even been promoted to a management position at the plant I was working at. And they got my young children in the church, and even got to the point I finally started tithing like I wanted to. And I went into work one morning, and they called everybody in, and they said, I want you to look around. They said, in 6 weeks, 50% of you are going to be gone. And I said, what? And I looked around at all the people in their positions and everything, and I said, Lord, I'm done for. These guys are pretty sharp in the positions they're in. I said, I'm gone. And I thought about that, and I struggled with it, and I even went and read scriptures, and it said, God says he's going to provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He even read in Psalms, and he said he will not hold any good thing from those that walk up righteously. But I struggled with that. I was driving home from work one day, and I seen a road crew working alongside the road, and I said, God, you didn't say how you're going to provide for me. You just said you're going to provide. It may not be the way I think. And so I resolved myself right then. I said, God, I'm going to trust you. Even if it's working on that road crew, I'll go do that, whatever it is you have for me. And when I decided that, when I finally got that in my mind, that no matter what he wanted for me, I was going to try to follow that, there was a peace there. It was just like I couldn't explain it. I felt okay, even in the middle of everything going on. It was a very peaceful feeling. 6 weeks later, I was still in my job. Although many men were transferred to different positions, they were no longer working, I still had my job. There's been several things that happened since then, but that was one of the things in the early days I'll just never, ever forget. It just felt his presence there.
Well, this happened about almost 30 years ago. Bart and I got married, and we tried to have a child. And no matter what we did, nothing was working. We went through fertility. We went through all sorts of things. And finally, when I was with my sister at her church in Boise, because she had gotten married, somebody said, you know, you seem down. And I was kind of wistfully looking at all the little children there and wishing that I could have my own. And somebody said that it was because I didn't forgive myself. And I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you know, when you gave up your child, you never forgave yourself. And so I thought about that, and then I went back to Virginia where we were living, and it took me a little while, but I had been praying, and I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I guess I need to forgive myself, and I'm really sorry that I have been so unrepentant of this. Please accept the fact that I know that there wasn't anything I could have done. And it wasn't even 2 weeks later that I became pregnant with Cheryl. And I really believe that when we do as the Lord asks, that he will provide. He does things that you would never even think of happening, and it happened. And so I just wanted to thank the Lord again for what he did for me.
One Saturday, we were up here at the church getting ready. There was a gospel singer came up here, and we were singing to get a sound check and whatnot. We sat up here singing a cappella for 2.5 hours, singing God's praise. And you could feel the Lord in this place. And it was good. We need more of it. And it's when my mother died. We were coming home from Virginia, coming to Charleston. I got a phone call just as we get on the airplane and she had died. And we went to Texas next day. And they asked me if there was anything I wanted to do in the service. I says yes. See, we had an Episcopal preacher there. He wasn't going to do too much.